Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also with me today. And Bill, I've been to Walmart. I think it was just yesterday I was in Walmart. And big sign, free shots. And then I went over to the grocery store after that. And big sign out front, free shots. Well, there's free shots everywhere.
There's no such thing as a free lunch.
Is there anything?
Is there such a thing as a free shot?
Well, and this just this morning, White House promises free Uber rides for vaccines. What's the deal with this?
This makes me nervous.
Things that make go, what's going on with this?
Yeah.
Does it feel agenda-ish to you?
Very much so. If they're pushing this so strongly, the question you have to ask is why. Nowhere in the history of mankind has there been such a movement by governments to vaccinate, quote unquote, vaccinate their populace. Nowhere.
Yeah.
Not at any other time has there been such a movement to see that the citizens of a nation, the citizens and nations around the world, are encouraged to be vaccinated.
And we have said this again and again, this is nowhere near the kind of death rate you would see with the bubonic plague or with the smallpox issues that they used to have in the 17th and 18th centuries, where, you know, 30% of Boston would be wiped out by the smallpox pandemic. And so, you know, here we've got, what is it, about a 0.01% death rate on COVID-19. And the vaccine itself, I just looked at a study that was done in Israel. It appears that, at least in the short term, it's not really helping that much.
It's an experimental vaccine.
Yeah,
we need to be very, very clear about this.
And we're not in the 90%. We're in the 50%, as far as people can tell. And, as you said, in the experimental stages, and not very many people, at least a lot of very many people I know, really want to be a guinea pig for the new mRNA, you know, genetic shot. This is not your typical vaccine. This is a readjustment of your genetic code by inserting a foreign mRNA into your system.
And beyond that, Kevin, remember the SARS epidemic? Was it 2003 or something like that? They developed a vaccine during that time. And when the death rate for the vaccine reached 50 people, they shut the program down. According to CDC, we are now at 4,100 deaths as a result of the vaccine. And they're not shutting this program down. They're encouraging it even more, to the point they're giving free Uber rides if you want to go get a free shot for this experimental vaccine.
At the very least, Bill, I think you can say that there is a fair amount of arrogance with the modern political scientific state in which the politicians believe that man will save himself and that his technology has, you know, reached the point at which it's perfected. And somehow this is going to be the ultimate solution to man's problems. And I have a hard time believing that. You know, in my world, I grew up in the scientific world. I did a lot of work in engineering over the years. And Bill, you know, in God we trust, all else bring data. That's what we used to say. And which means that you had to pay your dues. You had to test this thing out for a period of years, perhaps even a few decades, before you could be sure that you've got a solution, that you've got a solution that isn't tied in with too many side effects. And I don't think we're there yet. I think what you have is a fair amount of hubris, not so much the Ubers, but we got hubris going on with modern science. They've got this impression that somehow man will save himself and his technology is perfected to the point that
after 10 months, it's perfected to the point that governments
can mandate these things. Same thing has happened with global warming. So, you know, we're a little suspect as to whether or not we should be shutting down worldwide production because we're producing too much carbon dioxide. It's all man-caused. We've come to the point that we don't think it's time to sell all your SUVs and buy mopeds because the whole world's going to come to an end within 30 to 40 years because...
No, 12 years.
...of all the man-caused CO2 production around the world. We just aren't convinced of that. And we're also a bit skeptical now as to whether, you know, the same emperor's new clothes makers have trotted out these vaccines and promised... So that we'd be somehow delivered from these diseases. I think much better to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. If our leaders, if our scientific leaders, our political leaders really believe that the fear of God was the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, I think I would have a bit more confidence in some of their purported solutions.
Do you think? I mean, we're sitting here in your bunker. And it is what, the second week of May, and we've got snow falling heavily from the sky.
Sure doesn't feel like global warming.
Doesn't feel like. No. And in England, this is the coldest May on record since they started keeping records in the 1600s.
Okay. All right, we'll take a break, friends.
So much for science.
Oh, and the issue is not so much that they're missing it on these models. The issue is that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, and modern man just doesn't fear God, period.
They're not missing it, they're twisting it.
Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
Attention, homeschool parents. Here at Generations, we know that finding literature curriculum that engages your children's minds and helps them develop a strong Christian worldview can be an overwhelming task. That's why we've developed a Christian discipleship-focused literature curriculum that's centered around the most important work of literature ever written, the Word of God. Not only do our Bible-centric courses seek to place Christ at the head of literature studies, but they will also teach your children how to analyze all literature from a Christian perspective, enabling them to be more than conquerors in today's battle of worldviews. By introducing them to the essential stories of the faith, along with the written works of history's best Christian authors, our literature curriculum provides the bedrock for a firm foundation of faith in the hearts of your children. So, get started today with Generations Christian Discipleship Curriculum and watch your children embark on an incredible journey towards strengthening their faith and discovering the greatest Christian stories ever told. You can learn more and browse our selection of carefully curated works at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we are back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also with us today. And Bill, the thing that I think we're up against is the impulse towards totalitarianism. And this comes from man's intent to be as God. It goes all the way back to the garden. There's this impulse, I believe, on the part of individual man as well as social man to control humanity, to control reality. And to do so in this, with the sense that he is absolutely sovereign. I think this impulse to control humanity is overwhelmingly strong in this brave new world, more so than it has been in previous generations.
I agree. I mean, we just outlined his arrogance in trying to control the weather, and now his arrogance in trying to control a disease within the human body, and other things within the human
body. And to do so by way of the all-powerful state.
Yes.
Because this is the first time that man has managed to pull so much control under the magistrate. I think all the way back to the tyranny of, say, Henry VIII. He didn't have any more control than, I would say, 3-5% of the gross national product. And by the way, I do a chronicling of the rise of the modern state all the way back to the Roman powers, in which, again, they didn't have much more control than 3-4-5% of the gross domestic product throughout the Roman Empire. And same thing applied to the king, the tyrannical kings of the medieval period. They didn't have that much control until you get to the modern quote-unquote democracies in which man has created for himself these massive socialist totalitarian governments, and now there's this impulse to control humanity. It's overwhelmingly powerful in the human psyche. The assumption, of course, is that total control will bring about salvation, salvation from, you know, global warming and all the other perceived problems that don't happen to be the right problem, but also the idea that we could save ourselves from disease, COVID-19, we could save ourselves from death. But what if total control brings about total annihilation? That's the one point I think they're forgetting.
No, I don't think they're forgetting it at all. I think that that's exactly what they're aiming at. They're aiming at reducing the human population levels. It is the Brave New World. It is the utopian myth that many groups and many people have bought into over the ages, that we can create a perfect world. And in a perfect world, you have fewer people, therefore you have more resources per person, therefore you can redistribute the wealth, therefore you can also control a smaller number of people.
The only problem is that we begin with the fact that we are not perfect. Well, two problems. We're not perfect. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So you put all that power into the hands of a few in some centralized government, and what will they do with it? And the second problem is that they are not sovereign, and they can't control all things. And the third problem is a lack of wisdom. So, you know, lacking wisdom, lacking goodness, lacking power, lacking the ability to sovereignly control all things, but to pretend that they are sovereign long enough to destroy themselves, that's the thing that concerned our founders, the founders of this nation. What would they say? Something like, power corrupts, but absolute power corrupts absolutely. Government is like fire, a terrible servant and a cruel master. So don't let it get out of hand. And whatever you do, don't give it too much power. Keep it in the fireplace. Keep it confined. And if you do so, government will be fine. But if you let it out and you allow for governments to gain absolute power, just get out of the way. Get out of the way.
They'll burn the house down.
You got it. Well, Arthur Pulaski is that pastor in Calgary, Canada, who has stood up against the tyrants. And it was somewhat impressive to us. Now, he's been arrested. But one of the things I'd like to do is go back to the Fox News interview with him, because this explains something of Pastor Pulaski's thought processes. He was raised in a communist country in which he was well aware of the threats, the dangers of absolutism and the communism that had brought about so much destruction in the Eastern Bloc nations. I guess he was from Poland.
Right.
And sadly, Poland was the victim of two things, the Nazis and the communists. They got the 1-2 punch in history. Poland is one of the most oppressed nations of the last 60 to 80 to 90 years. So if anybody knows what tyranny can do, Polish would.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I saw his name, I thought, okay, I know where this guy is from, and I know what he has suffered, and I get it. I understand why he's pushing back on tyranny in Canada. Well, here's that interview with Fox News, just a piece of it. Again, this is FoxNews.com, friends. We want to give due recognition for this interview. This was on primetime Fox News.
Today, we showed you this remarkable scene. A policeman in a supposedly civilized country busting into an Easter service and attempting to close it down, which was in fact an illegal act by those coppers. In this case, the massed ranks of the constabulary didn't measure up to one determined pastor, and he cast them out of his church. That preacher joins us now, Arthur Pulaski. Pastor, it is great to see you. You're joining us from Calgary, where those nice Canadian police suddenly invaded, and you basically, through the sheer force of your personality, threw them out of the temple, and it was a wonderful thing to see those guys retreating down the stairs. What's interesting is you grew up behind the Iron Curtain, and what happened to you over Easter is exactly, I take it, why you didn't want to stay behind the Iron Curtain.
That's exactly so. Thank you so much for having me. I grew up under communist dictatorship, behind the Iron Curtain, under the boot of the Soviets, and I'm telling you, that's no fun at all. It was a disaster. Police officers could break into your house 5 in the morning. They could beat you up, torture. They could arrest you for no matter what reason they would come up with. That was a famous saying in Poland when I was growing up by the police. Give me a man and we will find something on that man. So it was like a flashback when those police officers showed up at my church. Everything kind of came back to life from my childhood. And the only thing I could do is to fend off the wolves as a shepherd. And I used my voice to get rid of them. They were illegally encroaching on our rights during the most holy days, during the Passover celebration. How dare they? The audacity of those people coming. It was a shocking thing. I was a little bit shaken, but I did what every shepherd right now on the planet Earth should be doing. Fend off the wolves. We as lions should never bow before the hyenas, and that's what they are right now.
Well, the hyenas are fairly confident in their powers, and a lot of the things that have become accepted in the last year, for example, New York police kicking a woman to the ground because she's not wearing a mask, governors of American states and Canadian provinces telling you whether you're allowed to have your granny or your aunt over for Christmas or Thanksgiving. I mean, that is the kind of tight 24/7 control that most communist countries lived under for half a century from the end of the Second World War. Is it all beginning to look worryingly familiar to you, the way people accept it?
Yes, it is. I have been warning Canadians for the past 16 years that that's what's coming. I could smell it. I could see it at every corner. The implementation of what we are seeing now, it started about 20 years ago. So growing up under communist dictatorship, I mean, that's a disaster. That's hell on earth. And I see it already in our Western democracies. So the only way I know how to fight them is 1981, that I witnessed millions of Poles taking to the streets and saying to them, no more, get out of our country, get out, stop. Millions of Poles took it to the streets during Solidarity, Lech Wałęsa, and they want their freedom. Right now, if you want your freedom back, because we have to remember, history is teaching us that those people will never give up their new gained powers. You gotta demand those rights back. You have to fight for your rights. They'll never give it back to you freely. So how to do it? Get them out of your properties, out of your businesses, out of your churches. Open up, open the churches. Clergymen should unite and start pushing this darkness away. And we should come and take to the streets and say no more lockdowns, no more restrictions. We will not put up with this anymore. We are fighting back.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that, Pastor. That is very inspiring. I would love to see.
All right, so there it is. That's the interview. I get the sinking feeling, Bill, that we don't have the millions on the streets telling the tyrants to get out. We don't have this. We aren't even close to that.
Well, you know what happened just recently.
He was arrested.
That same pastor, where was he arrested? They didn't go to the church this time.
It was in the middle of a busy highway.
They pulled him over in a traffic stop.
Mm-hmm.
See, they waited until he was singled out, that he was alone, and he didn't have people around him to defend him, to come to his aid. He was in a traffic stop, and then they arrested him, and now he's in jail. Well, he's been freed from jail by his attorney's efforts, but this is coming to America. We are not a step behind Canada. We are half step at our recent graduation ceremony down at our bridge year program at the Worldview at the Abbey. We had a student who's Canadian, and the parents, one holds dual citizenship, but the father is a Canadian citizen. He had to present a letter from us to his government saying that he was coming to retrieve his minor daughter. And even when he presented the letter, they did not believe him. And he had difficulty getting into the country. He wasn't sure he was going to be able to return to Canada without facing fines. There was, he related an incident to me where a Canadian citizen came across the border for a Passover service. And when returning, was fined $15,000 by the Canadian government.
See, this is a ruse. The COVID-19 has been an excuse or a ruse by which these tyrants are gaining the control and I think acclimating the population to accept this kind of tyranny. In other words, we in the Western world have been the recipients of 800 years of Western liberties, all the way back to the Magna Carta. And you can read the story of freedom. We need to hand off this legacy to our children and our children's children. That's why I wrote the book, The History of Freedom. And you can read about the story of freedom in the book. But I think we're losing this, Bill. And I think right now you're not going to see millions of people demanding freedom or insisting upon it or voting for it. Rather, what you're seeing is that people are just accepting tyranny and they're just going to continue to vote in the Republicans and Democrats that will sustain it.
Yes. And they're willingly accepting the chains that bind them.
Yeah. Samuel Adams said, if you love wealth more than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom, depart from us in peace. We ask not your counsel nor your arms. May your chains rest lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that you were our countrymen. And I guess that's my attitude as well, because what we need is a commitment to freedom, to Christian liberties that have been part of our heritage for nigh unto 800 years, but we're losing it quickly. Now, Pulaski is not going to give up on this battle. He's going to continue. We'll see how it works out. But friends, just several things before we're wrapping up with this program. I think what's troubling is that there are no more lower magistrates to whom we might appeal. That's one of my concerns. It is rare to find a sheriff or a local police department or a local city or county jurisdiction that is willing to put its foot down and say, thus far and no further, to these regulations. See, before the absolute control of the minds of the entire infrastructure of leadership was achieved in the modern age, there was actually a little more independence in the minds of the lower magistrates. And that's why John Calvin, John Knox, Samuel Rutherford, etc., and of course the French Huguenot writers, would constantly refer to the powers of the lower magistrates to stave off the control of the kings and the higher magistrates, because biblically they do have that power to stave off the control of the higher magistrates. But it seems to me that as long as the federal governments control 35-50% of the gross domestic product, the lower magistrates are only pawns controlled by the higher magistrates, and the 10th Amendment doesn't mean much anymore.
You know, it's interesting because you've mentioned the lesser magistrates several times, and I just was given a book, recommended a book by a good friend of mine who's a pastor, and it's The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates. And it's
is
a small
Matt,
book.
Matt Truella?
Yes, it is.
Okay, right.
And it's an excellent, excellent read and great exposition on Romans 13. And it's based on the, is it the Magdeburg Confession?
Yes.
Yeah, I got a copy of that. I haven't finished that
yet. You know what? It's the one piece I did not include in my book on the story of liberty, and I wish I had, but that's coming out in Revision B.
Yep. And it should, because it's a great story. It's a great story. And you're right. We need sheriffs, particularly, who will stand for liberty. And police departments, not so much. They won't do it. They're employees of the city. State police are employees of the governor. And it's the sheriffs who stand, who are elected by the people, who stand in the gap for liberty. And we need to surround them with prayer. We need to hold them accountable. And we need to lift them up before our Father.
And friends, one of the things you got to remember is that protests won't work for conservatives. Protests aren't going to work for conservatives. What does work for conservatives, that is Christians, principled men and women that stand for freedom. What will work for them will be that we have principled leaders in the position of the lower magistrates. See, it's courage and faith that need to play a part in the character of the lower magistrate. Otherwise, all bets are off for our liberties. You know, the protests have worked well for the leftists. But this idea that, you know, we can stand in front of abortion clinics, without the assistance of the local county sheriff isn't going to work for us. I think people need to remember that works for the leftists because the leftists, by definition, have the media on their side. What we need is the faith, the character, the courage with the local magistrate.
And the churches.
And the churches and the pastors in order to bring about some kind of a defense for liberty in our day and our age. We may have to fly under the radar and flee at points. Hiding may be our only option left if there is no more courage and faith left in any of the local magistrates. I would say you probably count in one hand the number of local magistrates in the state of Colorado or maybe in the United States of America that would stand for liberty.
And yet, Kevin, there is hope. I just saw an interview with the South Carolina governor. And he said there are five other governors who are doing the same thing. They're refusing to take the federal money, which is earmarked for unemployment. He said, because people aren't working. We've got signs up, he said, all over every city, you know, desiring help, help wanted signs. We'll hire you now with a bonus for even the most entry-level jobs. And he said, because the federal government is subsidizing unemployment, people can stay home and earn as much or more as they would in entry level jobs. And he said, we're not going to support this anymore. We are not taking that money. Now that
may be the beginning.
That is gold to me. That is music to my ears that a governor would say that. And yet you're right. We need more at the lower levels. We need more at the sheriff's departments. We need more local magistrates, mayors, who are standing up and saying, no more. We're not going to do this. We stand for liberty, not tyranny.
Does freedom have a shot? Does liberty have a shot anywhere in the world today? Thanks be to God. There has been such protections of liberty and provisions for liberty by way of the Bill of Rights of the United States Constitution, by way of the Magna Carta, 800 years of Christians who fought hard for our political liberties, my friends, just about gone now. So many have enjoyed the fruits of liberty, but so few will do anything to produce it. Well, let's plant seeds for the trees of liberty so that political liberties will survive in the next generation. Does freedom have a shot? Where does an impulse for freedom and liberty from big government come from? That's the big question. Where does the impulse, where does the desire, where does the value for freedom and liberty originate? Where is it? Well, ultimately, it comes from Jesus. If the Son will set you free, you will be free indeed. Ultimately, liberty will only survive where there is personal responsibility. As our founders would say, either you'll be governed by God or by God you will be governed. That is, either you'll be governed by God's laws or, certainly, according to God's sovereign workings, you're going to wind up being tyrannized big time by big governments. And that's what's going on right now. So in order for us to be free, there's got to be responsibility, self-government, young men who take responsibility for caring for their own families by working hard. And as Bill just mentioned, not depending on government unemployment programs, not depending on governments saving our economies. No. Responsibility. Young men taking responsibility for caring for their own families by working hard. If a man doesn't provide for his own family, he has denied the faith. A is worse than an unbeliever. That's the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 5:8. So responsibility is fundamental. Self-government. Ultimately, young men have to be saved. Young men have to be saved from porn habits, those vices that destroy men and their families. And ultimately, then, as we trace the roots of real freedom, real liberty, ultimately, Bill, real freedom, real liberty from sin and these vices that will destroy men and undermine personal responsibility can only come by Jesus Christ.
And we need to get that message out, and we need to do it loudly because we soon may not be able to even speak those words.
Bottom line, friends, there just aren't enough people believing in Jesus. Because if the Son will set you free, you will be free indeed. As the Apostle Paul also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, if you can be free, use it rather. You are bought with a price. Be not the slaves of men. Bottom line, there aren't enough Christians, self-governing men and women set free from their vices and sins by the redemptive blood of Jesus Christ. Yet, there needs to be more of these. And that's the responsibility of the church and Christian evangelists to get the gospel out, keep preaching the gospel, and disciple your children in the principles of freedom. That's why I wrote the book, The Story of Freedom. We define freedom biblically, as we just did in the book, The Story of Freedom, and then we go over the 800 years story of Western liberties. Just be sure you leave the legacy with your children and grandchildren, lest we leave them all in gulags. This is the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack inviting you back next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.